gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. What a show we have today. Reverend Jim Wallace, author of God's Politics, coming up in just a few minutes. Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal, the hilarious Boston Globe writer, and Tuesdays with Tyler.
That's
attention,
right.
Newsbusters. It is Tuesdays with Tyler. You might want to hit record now. Aisha Tyler joins us in hour three. I love how much credit I get for Aisha Tyler now. People think I invented her.
I know, right?
And I discovered her. And I did. Is she awesome and my BFF?
That's
yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
And Newsbusters would still like that free Steph Caps subscription.
Cheap bastard. It's only $4.95 a month. Buy it.
I know. They get all that Brent Bozell money. Why can't they afford it?
Yeah, guess here's some breaking news for you, Newsbusters. I don't get any George Soros money. I'm a capitalist pig. Buy my damn podcast, you bastards.
I can't believe they whined and cried to me about that.
Oh, so they can say more mean things about me quicker?
Exactly.
Could we have access to her archives so we can call her more names? Oh, I love it.
I said right. It's only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
They didn't take kindly to that unsolicited testimonial?
No, they did not.
All right, you can email us all at thestephaniemiller.com as well, you know. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Sue in Rockville, Maryland did. Hi, Steph. Poor Dennis Prager, you really swatted him around like a cat toy on Larry King last night.
You did.
Can I say? I don't normally, because I do this all the time. I kind of ate his lunch last night.
Someone has to.
Oh, the poor man. I don't. What can you say? As Sue points out, facts do have a well-known liberal bias.
Mm-hmm.
I was still annoyed with him about the last time we were on. I was working off some aggression.
Isn't that when he accused you of lying about him or something?
Yes, and I didn't. I didn't mean to call him a liar. I just said he was incorrect in his facts that Catholic Charities did not get kicked out of Massachusetts. They left of their own accord.
Right.
Because they weren't down with the, non-discrimination.
Whatever.
You know, that whole thing. All right, so that's up in the video section of StephanieMiller.com.
That's right, and it's also posted on your Facebook page.
Oh, by the way, you know how Larry King used to pester me in hair and makeup about, are you married yet?
Oh.
Why not?
Oh, geez.
And then I was like, because Keith Olbermann won't marry me. That used to be my answer, and then he's like, you'd be perfect together. You're both crazy. You know, that would be our whole...
That is true. He does have... He's right there.
Anyway, so now he's taken to and he's like, you got a girlfriend? I'm like, oh, Larry, all right. You know what? We're not getting into my personal life, okay?
He wants to marry you off.
He's one way or another, that man before he retires is going to make sure I'm taken care of. God love him. I love my Larry. He's leaving in December. I'm going to be so sad, honestly. I love him.
And what's taking his place? Do we know?
I don't know.
Is it Piers Morgan? Or?
I have several months to pester him to make sure it's me. I don't know. Yeah, that's been rumored, right? But I think I still have time.
Yeah.
Well, how's that Facebook page going, the Stephanie Miller to replace Larry King thing? How's that going? How's the groundswell going? How's the buzz?
It's swelly and buzzy.
What's happening out there? Anything? Okay. All right, so...
Is anyone out there? Anyone at all?
Hello?
Do you hear...
Oh, by the way, the most hate mail I got yesterday, it's because of you. It's your fault.
What I do now.
Because you're such a hysterical school marm. I was telling a story about how... The story was just about how I'm an elderly, shut-in, cable news geek loser.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch any television. I know I should, and I'm not very well-rounded. I'm a cable news geek. But so it was kind of hilarious. I had a little Emmy party, and everybody there doesn't watch TV. So it was kind of hilarious. No one knew what anything... I don't know, we were just watching to see what people were wearing, I guess.
Right.
But anyway, so I said, I didn't know, we kept going, who's that cowgirl? Because we didn't know, and you yelled at me, like I was, and then I got all these letters, I was making fun of a special needs person. I'm like, no, I didn't even know who she is. I didn't say anything about Temple Grandin. I knew who she was later, but I didn't see the HBO movie. So we didn't say again. Now I'm getting, it's because of you.
You didn't see all the billboards?
Because you're like, oh, Stephanie, she has Asperger's. Like, and I didn't say anything. I wasn't making fun of her. I just, we kept going,
you didn't
who
see
is
all the,
that?
You didn't see all the billboards that were plastered around town when you don't pay attention
I
to anything,
here,
do you?
I go here, back home, directly into the box of wine. I go here to the cables, to the radio studio. I go to the Larry King studio. I go home. That's it. Oh, my God. Here's how an elderly shut in I am now. Have you ever had a loaner car? I have a loaner car. Because Mom's a little clumsy with the car. I tried to get out of my garage before the door was entirely open, and so I ripped the brake light off the top of my car. Yeah. And also there's little scratches from, not getting in there entirely correctly. Anyway, so I have a, so it's in the shop getting a little repaired.
Uh-huh.
So would you ever have a loaner car that I literally, it's like George Jetson's car. I almost didn't get to work. I have no idea how it works.
The brand of car I get is too low to have a loaner
No,
car.
It's a hybrid. It's great. I just don't know. It's like a spaceship. It's the thing with no key. Damn, kids these days with the no key. What the hell is that about? You push a button. It's not actually a key. And then it's the hybrid, so you can't hear it, so you can't tell if it's on. And then I have no idea how to put it in park or reverse or whatever. It took me seriously like a half an hour to get out of my garage this morning. But I'm here. I'm like, darn it, kids, what is this, a space car? Damn it.
Just follow the president's advice. To go forward, put it in D. To go backwards, put it in R.
All right. Ryan is on my future husband list today. Why?
Why?
He writes, staff, my employer, a rabid Limbaugh fan, recently expressed concern of potential computer failure. I immediately suggested the use of Carbonite. As a fair-minded employee, I'm always looking out for my company's interests. Therefore, I concluded that using a promo would be the best course of action. I therefore promptly typed Stephanie in the box. So there. Ha ha. Go type rush. Type.
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. In the box.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm too, by the way, I'm too distracted by things on the internet as well to know what anything on television is except for Keith Olbermann.
Mm-hmm.
What? Well, you know, what's the kitty? Surprise kitty. That's her favorite.
Oh, where they're tickling the kitty.
And there's Ninja Kitty. And have you seen the chihuahua playing pool? There's a chihuahua that plays pool. He knocks every ball in, and he, like, barks at him. He's like, and he gets every ball in. Come on!
Oh, no.
So that's kind of my life. It's watching funny pet things on the inner tubes.
You used to watch good shows like The Sopranos and stuff. And
I don't know what's happened to me. My life has gotten smaller and sadder.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You used to be dialed into pop culture.
Yeah, what's the deal?
I think it's because you're getting older.
I got a darn Jetson's car now. I don't even know how to drive. How am I supposed to know who Temple Grandin is? Okay.
She invented a machine that hugs cows. And it makes cows more docile.
Oh, no, I know.
Yeah.
I know who she is now. I read all the stuff, the post-Emmy stuff. It could be because I drink a lot.
Maybe you should get that looked at.
look, the little girl from our PSAs has come to life. Girl 12 may face a DUI charge. Barely old enough for junior high, a 12-year-old rural Minnesota girl may be charged with a DUI.
Oh.
She was at the wheel of a car that missed a curve, according to the...
My name is
Stephanie Miller.
And I'm 10 years old. And in 8 years, I'll be an alcoholic.
Okay.
Bless her heart.
Bless her heart. That's which is why you sent me this for the party stack. I know, at least you try to make me feel better about myself. It's yet another study, I'm guessing, done by heavy drinkers, in which the headline is Heavy Drinkers Outlive Non-Drinkers.
Yeah.
Hello. I think if you don't drink, your life just seems longer, because, what's the point?
Exactly. Might as well have fun.
Mm-hmm. A new paper in the journal Alcoholism Clinical and Experimental Research, hello, which I call every night.
I subscribe to that.
For reasons. Okay. By the way, my cocktail hour is creeping up a little, kind of dangerously early these days.
When does your cocktail hour start?
I don't want to say.
It's 2?
Because we go to bed.
Is it like 2?
We go to bed at...
At stupid o'clock.
We get up at...
Insane o'clock.
Yeah, so it's kind of, it's all a gray
area. You start
area.
Like 1 or 2?
I do not start that early. It's drifting into 3-ish.
Stephanie!
Okay, it suggests that for reasons...
Are you okay?
That
do, you need a, do you need a intervention or something?
Who are you? By the time my intervention comes, I won't have enough brain cells to know who any of you are anyway. So I won't react badly. I'll just be like, who are you people? Why are you here?
Do we need to call Candy Finnegan, that woman from Intervention?
That'd be fun. Okay. Let's see. The new paper says, for reasons that aren't kind of clear, abstaining from alcohol does actually tend to increase one's risk of dying, even when you exclude former drinkers. The most shocking part, abstainers' mortality rates are higher than those of heavy drinkers. Moderate drinking, which is defined as 1 to 3 drinks a day, sure.
Uh-huh.
More like the 3, but, you know, is associated with the lowest mortality rates in alcohol studies. Moderate alcohol use, especially when the beverage of choice is red wine, hello, is thought to improve heart health, circulation, sociability, which can be important because people who are isolated don't have many family members and friends who can notice and help them help treat health problems. Heavy drinkers, let's see, blah, 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 less likely to die than people who have never drunk. One important reason, alcohol lubricates so many social interactions. And social interactions are vital for maintaining mental and physical health. That's it. Non-drinkers show greater signs of depression than those who allow themselves to join the party. So, once again, I'm a woman ahead of my time. It's social lubrication.
Yeah, but you need to have a social life in order to have social lubrication, Stephanie.
I call people on the phone. I call you.
You drunk dial me.
How you doing? What you thinking about?
I do not. I just... I leave drunken instructions on your machine. Which often involves singing bump songs that I would like you to get.
Right.
I was listening to the radio and I heard a boop, boop, da 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 da, boop, boop. Can you hear that one? Get that one.
That's exactly how your messages to me sound.
And then there's just like a 20 minutes of dial tone because I don't realize that I'm still on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Or I can hear what you're doing around your house. I can hear you French kissing your dog because you forgot to hang up the phone.
Oh, Max and Fred, you're so handsome and romantic. Do you hear that whole discussion? Because I have that every day.
I've heard that.
Okay.
Yeah.
17 minutes after the hour. Oh, boy. All right. That was, wow, what was that? That was just like radio packing peanuts.
It was. Yeah, there was nothing substantial in that
segment. No, there's nothing in that. All right, well, we'll get to the substance next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 21 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Ben in Minnesota has some more fun facts about the 12-year-old girl DUI. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Stephanie. I just heard what you said on the radio, and the story starts out as an 18-year-old going to a party. He meets this woman. This 12-year-old.
Oh, right. She was the designated driver.
Oh,
I remember
God.
This. Yes.
Yep, she was the designated driver. She ended up going off the road, getting stuck in someone's yard.
Right.
He takes over, starts driving, trying to get her unstuck. He ends up driving into the guy's building in this yard. They both get picked up for DWI. Now, when the 18-year-old gets picked up from detox, he gets picked up by another 18-year-old that he met at this very same party.
Oh, boy.
And he shows up drunk, and gets a DWI.
Oh, boy. It's only funny till someone loses a yard gnome, a lawn gnome, and then it's not funny anymore. Thank God everybody was all right.
Yes.
We're not making...
It's just kind of tragic, actually.
He ran over someone's gazing globe, and now it's not funny. All right.
You had a gazing globe at one point.
I did, and I still don't know what it is.
It's a globe you gaze into.
Exactly. In your garden.
Mm-hmm.
It goes near the gnome. Chris in Yankton writes, Steph, the alcohol banner between you and Chris reminds me of a Patsy Stone quote from AbFab. The last mosquito that bit me had to check into Betty Ford. Is there a tiny mosquito AA in the backyard of the sprawling Miller compound? I believe there might be.
Yeah, it's next to the bridal trail.
There's a little... All right. You know what? By the way, I do believe children are the future. I think I've mentioned that before. This one is...
I believe the children are the future.
I have to save this for Reverend Jim Wallace coming up in a couple of minutes, but we were talking about the Beccapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephanie from Syracuse writes, I'm a 14-year-old that shares your name. I volunteer once a week at a soup kitchen and once a week at a horse rescue, in addition to being part of an outreach program for new students at my high school. I just want to know what His Holiness Glenn Beck does to help others, seeing as he's the second coming and all. I'm not Christian or religious in any way, yet I still strive to help others out, whereas Glenn Beck and his infantile supporters profess their faith by restricting others' rights and harming law-abiding peaceful citizens.
Wow.
She's 14. Stephanie from Syracuse says.
Stephanie Mill.
And she knows more about God than Glenn Beck ever will.
She's awesome.
You're awesome, Steph.
Sugar and spice.
Yeah.
It ain't a man's world.
Yeah. Why don't you call it? She should call into Glenn Beck's show and give him a little lesson. Hmm? Wouldn't he say, that's how you can teach kids to be good people? They need to see you praying.
That's right.
On your hands and knees. Because that's how they'll know. It wouldn't be like stuff like that. Like, gee, you might want to actually help other people and do crazy communistical, socialistical things like that. Like, actually help other people.
Wait till you hear what he has to say in Right Wing World about the quote-unquote sign from God that he received.
Oh, dear. Oh, my God.
It is un-frickin' believable.
I venture to guess that if Stephanie from Syracuse called his show to give him a little schooling in what it actually means to be a good person, I think that he would probably tell her to get off his phone, is what I'm guessing. But, you know, in a really in megalomaniacal, God complex way. Yes, because clearly Stephanie from Syracuse was not the right kind of Christian because she does not believe in God or goal line. So she's not the right kind of Christian, just like the president.
Hmm.
Okay. What is that he was rambling on about, by the way? We'll save all this for Reverend Wallace, but what's his name? Glenn Beck. It's not the right kind of Christian. It's not Christianity people recognize, the president. It's some weird. And I'm thinking most Christians don't recognize your religion and think Mormonism's a weird cult.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, it's like, I can't believe we're trying to divide people even.
He's one to be talking about weird religions.
All right. Okay. And by the way, the Stephanie Miller Show is not saying Mormonism is a weird cult. I'm just saying. All right.
We're just saying that evangelicals view the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as a weird cult.
Yes. All right. By the way, thank you for all your letters about Larry King last night. I was kind of ring the bell schools in sucker for Dennis Prager on the economy last night. I'm sorry. Sorry to do it to the man.
Dennis Prager would not understand that reference.
I like him and all. But, it's just, because this is what they always try to do on the right. Like, good people can disagree, Stephanie. Good people on both sides. It's like, no, not about the economy and the hard numbers and the fact that, like, we were losing 800,000 jobs a month and now we're gaining and we're going in the right direction and that this unnecessary war in Iraq and tax cuts for the top 1% are what got us largely into this deficit. I mean, you can't just say all spending's the same.
Right.
The spending, you know, as I pointed out, that we've done for the stimulus has created lots of jobs. The spending we did to bail out the auto industry was a great idea. And now they're in profits and they're paying us back with interest.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make All right. By the way, he somehow got into Islam. And I said, George Bush said Islam was a religion of peace. Do you disagree? And I think he almost choked on his... What? Okay, the president talking about the economy.
It's going to take a full-scale effort, a full-scale attack that not only helps in the short term, but builds a firmer foundation that makes our nation stronger for the long haul.
His first statement since he got back from vacation, he picked up where he left off. He accused Republicans of playing politics and blocking a jobs bill that would help small businesses. What a surprise.
Yeah.
What a surprise. They're blocking something? Unfortunately, this bill has been languishing in the Senate for months, held up by a partisan minority that won't even allow it to go to a vote. That makes no sense, except, of course, if your party is populated by people that hate the president and want to stop anything that he might do to actually govern the country.
Why don't we just have an up or down vote? Mm-hmm. I demand an up or down vote.
Up or down. Up or down.
Up
Remember
or down
that?
Vote.
Remember when that was a big deal? Holding this bill hostage is directly detrimental to our economic growth, so I ask Senate Republicans to drop the blockade. It's obstruction that defies common sense. It's up or down.
All judicial nominees deserve an up or down vote.
What goes up?
The Senate as a whole will speak with an up or down
it
vote.
Must come down.
They do not want to vote up or down on these nominees.
Talking about your trouble.
Wait, Wait, are you saying that that's a giant
wheel of right-wing hypocrites?
All the Republicans in there that all demanded an up or down vote on everything that George Bush was in. Yeah,
that's right.
Because that's only fair. The president.
We had anticipated that the recovery was slowing. The economy is still growing, but it's not growing as fast as it needs to.
Consumer spending, by the way, rose 0.4% in July after three lackluster months. The Commerce Department said Monday. So,
yeah. The numbers are showing that the economy is going in the right direction. I think it's the media that is still putting out there that the economy is in malaise.
Yeah. And that the Democrats are going to take a beating and blah, blah, blah. You've got to read Paul Krugman's new piece.
Okay.
I seriously hope people take a second and really think about what will happen if Republican majorities get in. We will talk about that and Reverend Jim Wallace, author of God's Politics, coming up on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I loved her so much.
That it was creepy and pathetic?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Shano has just tweeted, that first segment was like a Bin Laden tape. No reference to current events. Could be from the 80s.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Maybe I wasn't even here.
Put
a tape on. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, we're talking a lot about the Beccapalooza, the White Stock.
Mm-hmm.
That he held over the weekend. Someone who always speaks, I think, so clearly and so succinctly on issues of faith is the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show, the Reverend Jim Wallace, author of God's Politics and 1,000 other books. Hello, Reverend.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good to talk to you again.
And you.
Well, there's a bunch of things I know you're working on, but you have to give me your reaction to this. Our old friend Glenn Beck and his little whatever that was this weekend. It struck some people as very like teetering into theocracy. What was your reaction to it?
Well, Stephanie, as you know, I'm on Glenn Beck's blackboard.
That's right.
On a regular occasion, he often attacks me and other what he calls social justice Christians. So I did watch the speech on TV, and I thought I might have been witnessing some kind of conversion. Here was a man who has just recently called himself an entertainer, but he sounded like more like an evangelist or a revivalist on the Lincoln Memorial steps. And then I heard he'd apologized for his comments about President Obama being a racist and hating white people in his heart. But then I saw he'd backed off from those comments. And he called us to come to turn to God. And I want to say, well, a lot of Americans, a lot of people are trying to do that every day already. But I want to take this as perhaps maybe he'll have a more humble tone, a more civil tone. When you speak of God and speak as a religious leader, you're a little more accountable for what you say. And so I want to reissue my invitation to Glenn Beck to have a civil discourse about what the gospel means. He continues to sort of attack Christians who care about social justice, and one of them was the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.
Well, and Reverend, in my opinion, he sort of made it worse when he tried to walk back his comment about, you know, the president's not a racist, but he practices a kind of Christianity that Americans don't recognize. That's, you know, apparently somehow substandard to his. I mean,
he called that amending.
Right.
Yeah.
I would have better just to say I'm sorry. I shouldn't have called the president a racist or said that he hates white people in his heart. I think Glenn Beck is pretty new to all this religion and theology, and he should be careful about questioning other people's versions of Christianity. In fact, he said on the Mall, we can disagree about politics, but should respect each other and maybe come together around some things. I like that kind of talk. I try that myself as often as I can. But it doesn't then help to say, and I'm going to attack this person's theology. I think Glenn Beck's theology is mistaken, and I'd like to have a dialogue with him about it.
Well, you know, Reverend, I just read a letter before the break from a 14-year-old girl who said, you know, she doesn't believe in God, but, you know, she volunteers at a soup kitchen, and she works, you know, in all these programs, horse rescue, trying to help people, trying to help other. And she said, you know, I don't understand what Glenn Beck has to do with. And I thought, how hilarious that a kid sort of understands that, like you always say, Reverend, it's about works. It's not just about, you know, words. And when Glenn Beck talks about social justice, that's what it is. You're exactly right. That's what Reverend Martin Luther King preached, isn't it?
Well, it is. And Martin Luther King Jr. was the archetypal social justice person of faith. That's what he was. So, you know, Glenn Beck would have done well to read the words of King about social, how his personal faith, King's personal faith, it was personal for King, and it led him to fight for social, racial, economic justice. That's what he did.
Right.
And so I think if Glenn Beck wants to talk about theology, he should have a conversation. Now, who speaks for God is the question here. It can't be just Glenn Beck or Al Sharpton, Jim Wallace. You know, Stephanie Miller does, of course. But other than that, you know.
I hear a nation of people spitting out their coffee. but, you know, Reverend, let's talk about what else you're doing. Because I think, you know, because of Glenn Beck and the likes of him, I mean, obviously a lot of this is, you know, I think it is geared toward the president is other somehow, not just his race, his religion is, you know, it's this constant thing that, you know, the president is a Muslim. So I know you and other Christian leaders are speaking out about this a lot, because first of all, it's creepy to have to even talk about this, isn't it? The inference is that being Muslim would be something bad that he has to keep denying, correct?
Well, President Obama has made two things clear. One, that he had a Christian conversion many years ago. I knew him back then, and we've talked about his faith. He's a Christian, but he also says America is not just for Christians. It's for people of other faiths and people of no faith at all, like
That's
the
right.
young girl you talked about. Many people tell me they're spiritual but not religious, and I say back to them, religion has no monopoly on morality. So I think Obama has, in fact, his faith is personal and intelligent, and yet he wants a pluralistic America. So it's very dangerous if you disagree with Obama's policies, and I do on Afghanistan, for example, you don't challenge the integrity of his faith. And so I think I was asked by Fox the other day why so many Americans now believe Obama is a Muslim. And I said, are you seriously asking me that question? I said,
on
yes,
Fox News?
Yes.
That's because of Fox News. That's
and I
why.
Said, because you guys have been lying about it. You have a major, huge media machine, and I think you know you're lying. But there people are, in a letter that a number of us just signed, from ministers across the political spectrum, some Democrat, Republican said, this is wrong, factually wrong, and morally dishonest to attack or question the president's faith. Disagree with his policy stands. That's fine. Many in that letter do.
Well,
it's really something's wrong with our country when we're saying, is the president really a Christian? Is he a Muslim? As if to say there's something wrong with being a Muslim in America. And I want,
right.
as a Christian, I want to say, anti-Muslim bigotry, anti-Mormon bigotry is wrong.
Well, you know, and the other thing, I mean, as the president said, I can't spend all of my time with my birth certificate plastered on my forehead. The facts are the facts. I mean, you know, I share his frustration that he's trying to do, I think, so many things for a country that really is in trouble on a lot of fronts. And, I mean, I don't know how you deal with this. A stunning 18% of Americans identify Obama as Muslim. According to this poll, only a third identify him as a Christian. I don't. What, I mean, what does he do about that?
Well, all he can do is use this as an opportunity to two things: clarify, you know, what his own faith is. Which faith should never be a requirement for elected office. So, any faith the president is, or even non-faith, is certainly constitutionally permissible. But he should also, and he's trying to do this, he should say, this is a nation of many faith traditions. And I think the conversation, I'm even more concerned about people attacking Muslims, not just calling the president Muslim, but there's really a growing
right.
sense of anti-Muslim bigotry in this country.
Oh, the latest in Tennessee, there was an Islamic community center attacked. I mean, we have this, you know, Muslim cab driver stabbed in New
right.
York. I mean, you're right. They are creating an ugly atmosphere that is not surprising, that is creating real violence, and also, according to terrorism experts, real great recruiting tools for,
well,
you know, Al-Qaeda.
And I think we have to ask three questions. One, is this a country where we want people to be able to worship and to pray when and where they want to? Two, are Muslim Americans Americans too? And three, Christians, those of us that are, have to ask, what does it mean when Jesus says to love our neighbors? Our Muslim Americans are our neighbors. And so I think there's a fundamental issue here about the character of the nation that we really have to address. It's fine to disagree about policy matters. We should. That's what a democracy is. But to attack people for their faith, to spread disinformation about their faith, and on Saturday, for Glenn Beck to call the nation to God, I join in that call. But what does that mean? It does not mean baptizing anybody's politics with religion. God judges our politics, doesn't sort of take our political side. And both the right and the left have tried to use religion for their own purposes. And that's I have to ask, what's prophetic and not political? I mean, the prophets had some hard things to say, usually about how we treat the poor. And there's a lot to challenge both parties on in terms of how we're treating the poorest among us.
Well, that was one of the things we've been talking about, Reverend. We were struck by one of the things Glenn Beck said is, parents should show their children that they're praying, leave the door open, and make sure they can see you praying. And it's like, that's not how you know someone's a good person. It's deeds, right? I mean, that's what you talk about all the time. I mean,
I believe Glenn Beck said he believes now in personal salvation, and of course I believe in that too. Mm-hmm. But our personal salvation is for the world. John 3:16, the verse often evangelicals love to quote, says, "God so loved the world." So our salvation is not just for ourselves, not a ticket to heaven. Our salvation is for the sake of the world,
right.
And we have to show the world that God loves and cares for the place that we live.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I say, I think that and you made the point, you know, in the beginning of the interview here, Reverend, is that, you know, in a country that was founded on, as you say, freedom of religion and from religion, if that was your choice, it's just, of all spokespeople, you know, like you say, for him to you know, make this sound like we're really in, like, this, the way we should be, at least in a theocracy, like, that's what's wrong with the country, and it just... I don't know. Like I say, when at the same time they're doing this campaign of misinformation about the president's religion, about the mosque at Ground Zero, I mean, it's kind of an ugly atmosphere, in my opinion.
Well, I just want people who it's an ugly atmosphere. I think for many it's a scary atmosphere. I think if people who listen to Glenn Beck on Saturday, if they're not Christians or if they're not Christians with his politics, they might feel like they're being left out or even be afraid. And I want to say that, you know, Glenn Beck speaks for Glenn Beck, but Glenn Beck doesn't speak for God. And you know, no one, we need to listen to what God's voice is, those of us who are people of faith. And
well, that's right. And I think what you...
love and justice.
Right. I mean, what you've preached, and I think what, you know, Obama ran on really is an inclusiveness, whereas, you know, I'm sorry, Reverend, they have a right to say whatever they want. He's absolutely fine that he did this thing this weekend, but, you know, let's be honest about it. It was a largely white, largely Republican crowd, and that's fine. You know, but I think, like you say, to say somehow this was not at all political, I think, is disingenuous.
Well, there were a lot of people there, but it was, in fact, a narrow segment of American life. I was actually down there speaking to a wonderful announcement of a beautiful piece of art of Dr. King, big monument to King. And I was looking at the crowd, and it was a white crowd, was an older crowd. There weren't hardly any young people there. And as I talk to young people around the country, I think faith is important to them, but they want their faith to issue in out in how they live, how they act, and what they do for their community. It means serving. It means acting in love and compassion and service and justice.
That's right.
And I think if Glenn Beck wants to attack Christians who are doing that, he's making a mistake. So I'm appealing to Glenn Beck. If there's a conversion going on here, if there's a something in his own heart, which he says it is, then that should issue forth in less vitriol, less divisiveness, and a willingness to have an open civil dialogue about what does the gospel mean and how should it critique all of our politics and not just baptize our political ideology.
Well, Reverend, I pray for that, and I pray for you to stay off Glenn Beck's blackboard for a little while. Give you a break. All right, Reverend Jim Wall is the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show. Thanks so much, Reverend.
Bless you, Stephanie.
All right, bless you too, sir. There it goes. Oh, he always gives me a little blessing and benediction there at the end.
And we have links to all of his organizations up at stephaniemiller.com and on your FacePace page.
Literally doing the Lord's work.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. 48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, she has one of these liberal talk shows that nobody listens to.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, I didn't do it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. It wasn't me. 53 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Steve in Long Island. Hey, Steve, welcome.
Good morning, Steph. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning.
Yesterday on Randy Rhoads' show, she kind of dedicated the whole show to the moron, or Harry Beal, as I like to call him. You know,
he is the Michael Douglas character in Falling Down. It's exactly what he looks like.
No, network.
Yeah, Howard Beal.
He is also he looks exactly like Michael Douglas in Falling Down.
Well, let's give
with the flat top and everything. Yes.
Well, she said that the reason why he may be invoking God and religion is because they're going to want to run Mitt Romney in 2012.
Oh.
And we all know the reason why they didn't run Mitt Romney against Obama was because he was a Mormon.
Because he practices a kind of religion that most Americans don't recognize.
Correct. And it made me think.
Yes.
And she might be right on target with this one.
Yeah, I just, we got to stop all of that. Seriously. You know, it just, it is amazing. They really try. I mean, Pat Robertson has done this. He tries to divide against, even among different kinds of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he said snotty things about, I don't even know
about Catholics.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And whoever, Lutherans and whatever denomination that he thinks are, I'll have to look it up, something he said about.
You know what,
they aren't the right kind of Christians.
I will take people who belong to the LDS Church seriously when they allow me into one of their weddings.
Yes.
Sorry.
I think that's a Gandhi quote, something about, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians.
Yes.
Exactly. Apple in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi.
As I explained to your screener, I was actually raised as a Mormon,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't been in a Mormon church in 20 years, I'm not going to trash talk the Mormons, but it's just not what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to think I'm maybe a little objective about all of this, but I see what is going on with the Mormon church currently as kind of a cautionary tale about what happens when you try to, you know, mix church and state. And, I mean, I don't think it's my imagination, but it seems to me that the view of the Mormon church is much more negative than it was, say, 3-4 years ago. And I don't want to say they shouldn't allow Glenn Beck. I mean, as long as he's not, whatever, breaking the rules of the religion. I don't think they accounted for him when they made their rules, I guess, but they didn't account for somebody like him. But he is just, in fact, when my husband told me a couple years ago that Glenn Beck was a Mormon, I was like, no, honey, you don't know what you're talking about. You're wrong.
He's actually a Mormon convert.
Yeah, right. He is.
Yeah.
I know he is.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what.
I looked it up, and sure enough, it still kind of baffles me.
Yes. I'm not sure group would like to claim him. I'm sure even guys with flat tops don't want it. John Tester's like, I don't. He's not one of me. Let's go to Susan in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama. First-time caller. As a Christian, my pastor once asked me, you know, we're all part of the body of Christ. Do you want to be the hand or the feet? And as far as Glenn Beck's concerned, he just must be the butt.
Yes, he's the butt end of everything.
All right. All right, then.
Dr. Jean in Minnesota is a psychologist. Hi, Dr. Jean.
Hi there. Can I be the official Stephanie Miller psychologist?
As long as you don't shout the N-word. All right. Go ahead.
Well, we could talk about the credentials of other folks. But,
yes.
What I find interesting as a psychologist is the absence of discussion in social conversations about the behavior of some people who are very fundamentalists about the level of their moral development.
Mm-hmm.
We know from the work of Kohlberg that people who are very early in the stages of moral development get very stuck on ideas of what is good or what is bad versus the higher levels of moral development that address things like, as your Reverend was talking about, social justice, relationships, and I often find that there is this missing piece, and I would love it if your show would occasionally be able to bring this into the discussion, because it has such a helpful way of explaining behavior, like the impact of groupthink on the decision to go into Iraq. There's
mm-hmm.
just this whole missing piece in our discussion.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, you and your fancy psychology speak, I think what you're saying is Glenn Beck is crazy.
Oh.
I know you don't like to use that word in your circles.
I'll let you use it.
All right. Thank you, Doc. That'll be my job.
Boy.
My job will be to call names, and you talk with all your whatever.
Whatever.
Your fancy book learning.
Group think something, moral structure, whatever. Whew, that's too much reading for me already. 58 minutes after the hour. We got Charlie Pierce. We got Right Wing World. We got Aisha Tyler. Don't go away. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website, check out. You can email us all there, executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice, Dee Dee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Mama on Larry King Live mm-hmm. is up in the video section
yes.
of stephaniemiller.com. Check it
out. It's also up on your Facebook page.
Check it out. I'm on my Twitter page. I am.
Actually reading tweets to you.
I am,
you're all a Twitter.
Who knew? I'm on the interweb tubes. Loving it. Jim Ward is here, who had an ass-tastic day yesterday. Your colonoscopy went fine, I think.
It was a complete success. They were able to pull my head out of my ass.
Yay!
And, no, I like that. We have an app for that. So, I'd like to thank my doctor, Dr. Jeffrey Lake.
Way to go, Doc.
Mancino, and the fine folks over there at the Specialty Surgical Center in Encino.
Yes.
Yeah, they got it right this time, because they actually, the anesthesiologist, Dr. Khan.
Yes.
Khan! Mm-hmm. I couldn't resist doing that. I was actually out for it.
Really? Oh, this
the
is good.
The first one I had, I was awake for the whole thing.
Oh,
and that was bad.
No, that's
oh,
no good.
Oh, boy. I watched the whole ass cam.
That's
thing.
No
oh,
good. And
no,
the, oh,
that's
really.
No fun. But,
yeah.
But, yes, this is what happens afterwards, of course. The nurse tells you to roll over and let her rip.
Yes.
Which sounded like that. But I wasn't quite done yet. So she led me over, because I was still kind of woozy, over to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Where I continued the process. And unfortunately, it was one of those bathrooms. It's all tile, like
yes.
a big echo chamber.
Very loud.
Yeah. I entertained the whole floor while I was in there. It was, oh, boy, that's a bad one. Oh, wow. Jeez, I got airborne there. Whoa. Came out to huge cheers. The Russian judge gave me a 9.5. It was great.
I think that tile's going to have to be replaced entirely. Yeah, that's not just a That's not just a grout problem.
You're going to need to buy some brown tiles, I think.
No, no, there was nothing left in me except air.
Clouds of green gas follow you out.
He went all Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, but no, it was uneventful, you know.
Good.
They'll call me.
Good.
If I'm dying. But no, everything's fine.
Good. Yay for Jim. See?
Just make sure your insurance covers anesthesia when you get it.
Yes, that's always good. And
you really don't want to
and
be
gas masks for the medical personnel that happen to be involved in the process.
What about proctologists? Yeah, you start at the bottom and you stay there.
That's a bad job, can I just say? That's boy.
Yeah, I wonder about the...
This unemployment rate, that's a bad job.
So you couldn't be a real doctor?
You had to be an ass
start
doctor.
Start with the ass.
Someone has to do it, and someone makes good money doing it, I'm sure.
And Dr. Lake has great bedside manner and a great sense of humor.
Good.
Which you need in that profession.
Oh, yeah. An ass doctor needs a sense of humor, for sure.
The first guy, no sense of humor at all.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, speaking of bad jobs or any jobs at all, would you like to know the states with the lowest unemployment? These are the fun facts. I thought it was interesting. Number one, you know what it is? North Dakota. Has only a 3.6% unemployment rate. You know why? Because everyone in North Dakota works for Ed Schultz. Seriously, he employs the entire state.
Wow.
Between his radio show, TV show, and his construction business. That 3.6% is probably wondering why Ed Schultz won't give them a job. South Dakota has only a 4.4%, probably, because some of those, Ed Schultz needs some of those people as well.
Of course, they're
close by.
Of course, there are about 50 people in those states, so that helps.
Yes. Well. Nebraska only has a 4.7%. Hawaii, 6.3%. Kansas, 6.5%. Wyoming, 6.7%. Probably... Dick Cheney employs them in his
underground lair.
In his underground lair, probably.
Keep shoveling. We need more fire. It's not hot enough in here yet.
Oh, this will cheer you up. Sarah Palin. All right.
Oh boy, what'd she do now?
Tommy sends us this. Apparently, Sarah Palin was so incensed that the media were eviscerating Glenn Beck over his rally of hypocrisy, she fired off a tweet to the wrong Beck. She sent it to the singer.
That's great. That's fantastic. One to Jeff Beck, too. That would be good.
Tweeted, silly media reports, maybe thousands at Beck's irrelevant event, insinuating mainstream sheeple mustn't believe their own eyes and ears regarding events, truth, something.
She's even less coherent when she's tweeting. I didn't think that was possible.
Sure, she wasn't drunk. That's the sort of thing you would do.
To play that word salad for Jim from yesterday, from her at the Beck rally. It just, Jim, literally, there's no...
Wasn't there like a big drug problem?
Punctuation or pauses or prepositions.
No concepts from one to other talk like backwards talking I am, am I? Matters not. Yoda am I.
Yeah, friends don't let... morons Twitter. She sent it not to Glenn Beck's Twitter page, but to the page of Beck the musician.
That's hilarious.
Which I just love that story. Also, too, in addition.
Moreover.
Okay. All right. This Jim, we saved this for you. We saved this for you since you were indisposed yesterday. Sarah.
It is so humbling to get to be here with you today, patriots. You who are motivated and engaged and concerned. Knowing to never retreat.
What?
I must assume that you too, knowing that we must not fundamentally transform America as some would want.
What?
We must restore America and restore her honor.
Well, okay.
Is English your first language?
The big thing that bugs me about her is that she splits infinitives left and right.
Infinitive splitting, do I?
Oh, God.
Also, too.
You can listen to that. What
therefore,
was that, 30 seconds?
Must we,
and go, what was that?
As can do, as some would have. Also...
Okay, bandsaw, meet bicycle.
Now our reflection is just so soothing, you don't even know what he's talking about.
We need to restore prepositions before we can restore honor.
Prepositions, not restored, also to having not, will be forwarding to patriot. Also,
sense no make, does she?
She is Yoda.
That was from Chris and Yankton.
Incoherent, are you?
Okay, let's let's go.
Grammar mine better much is.
What the hell? Mary, you're right. Twitter's perfect for her. She talks like that. Yeah. What? Mary in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Hi. Hi, guys. How you doing? Thanks for keeping me laughing all the way. Long Island.
Also, too, our pleasure in addition.
Thank you.
Also being laughing way all the way. Also, too, Patriot.
Long Island's unemployment, just to report real fast, is 6.8%. So I don't know why, but
that?
Whatever it is,
wow.
That's great. Not bad. Well, you know, we try to keep a strong base here, whatever. It's expensive to live here, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Glenn Beck is a shapeshifter. This rally was planned months ago, and he probably got some internal polling that said, you better not make it political because that's getting unpopular with the signs and the guns. Remember that, what it said?
Mm-hmm.
That, leave not just your signs home, but your guns.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't trust
his own followers anymore.
No, it was the Black Panthers he was afraid of.
Oh, yes. That's a caller told us that.
Black Panther force.
No, his wife asked him to wear it.
Ah.
That's the official story from Beck. So that caller that called yesterday was lying to us.
Yeah, of course. But
let's all think for a moment
what
it must be like to be Mrs. Glenn Beck.
Yeah. Yes. You know, the whole thing started off as a promotion for his book,
uh-huh.
And then it morphed into this thing for the veterans, and now it's the Martin Luther King retaking something. It was just a slimy promotion for his stupid book.
Yes. And wouldn't you think that even if the three members of the new Black Panther Party showed up at that rally, the 87,000 white people in the audience would take care of them?
The Klan and the John Birch Society and the American Nazi Party, who are all, I'm sure, represented there, would have made quick work of...
Who tweeted us that people outnumbered teeth at the...
Stephen Weber actually tweeted that. People outnumbered teeth 3-1.
He's a scamp.
Yeah.
Hi, Dennis in South Carolina.
Hey, guys. I think it's hilarious. You guys have no way of handling this new conservative movement.
Yeah.
You just crack and make jokes, and there's no base behind all of your arguments. And I just think it's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
Which ones?
Dennis, this is not a new conservative movement. These are all old white people that voted for George Bush. They were all Republicans.
There's one. You say they're old white people.
They are.
I don't know how many pictures of minorities there.
Were there?
Well, they were all on stage.
Pictures of Obama with a bone through his nose, yes.
That's one poster out of like 10,000.
Okay.
Yeah, the picture of the watermelons on the lawn of the White House.
But that's what you guys do. You pick out like three posters, and then you'll just cover.
It's kind of representative.
Well, I mean, I could take that from the left. I mean, it's just silly. And you guys.
You mean the anti-war protests that they never covered?
You don't know how to handle it, and you just make.
No, all I'm pointing out is these are not new voters. These are old white Republicans that have voted Republican all their life. This is not some new group of people.
Who from the left can get together 300,000 people on a Saturday?
Well, you're right. No, you have me there. We're too disorganized.
Well, no. I mean, we had massive anti-war protests during the Bush administration. It was not covered by the media.
Yeah.
There were...
It was 87,000.
Those were...
87,000.
Also...
it was not a million. But thanks.
President Obama was able to get together a whole bunch
of people. Yes, I was there.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I was there. There were quite a few people.
So, there is that.
I couldn't get anywhere near where he was speaking. There were millions of people.
That was a bit of a nightmare, actually, dealing with that crowd.
Diane in Niceville, Florida. Hello, Diane.
Oh, hello. I just wanted to mention a little something about the Mormon faith. I'm an ex-Mormon member from 30-some-odd years ago. But Glenn Beck, you know, he's planning on becoming a god of a planet and have spiritual children, just like Jesus did with Earth. And that's what they believe.
Right. And get away from the mud people. That would be...
Right,
job
and they
one.
Also baptize the dead,
mm-hmm.
but
which I have a bit of a problem with.
I forget that one. Why do they baptize the dead?
Because they can become good Mormons.
Which is why
you don't have much say in that.
Which
you?
Is why the LDS Church has such excellent genealogy records.
Right.
Right. And of course, Jesus and Satan were spiritual brothers.
Right.
But Glenn Beck, if he follows the Mormon temple obligation, he's planning on becoming a god of a planet and have spirits that live there, just like Earth.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Well, choose your planet carefully. If it's like twice the size of Jupiter, you'll be crushed in a millionth of a second.
That sounds like necrophilia a little bit. I'm not for anything being done to you without your consent in any way.
Well,
I'm just saying.
LDS Church does it to you.
In fact, most planets are gaseous. There's nothing you can stand on. No. So good luck with that.
Kind of like you yesterday.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Jim did some internal polling yesterday as well.
Hey!
Hey! Hey! 18 minutes after the
you
hour.
You better explain that. I had a colonoscopy.
Oh, Jim had a colonoscopy yesterday. Oof.
It wasn't recreational.
Not right. That there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the Stephanie Miller radio show in suburban America this morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the he's having a colonoscopy right now. Just saying. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. Jim Ward had one yesterday. We recommend it here at the Stephanie Miller Show.
When was your last one? What?
Well, she's not 50 yet. Soon.
No, exactly. Thank you, Jim. I have never had one.
You're a year away from...
All right. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Listen, I go get my boob mashed once a year.
All right.
the horror machine. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Robert in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Robert.
Hey, good morning. Listen, after watching an hour of Glenn Beck's presentation of mismatch topics, there was no rhyme or reason, there was no paradigm, there was no message. It just reminded me of David Lynch's Inland Empire film.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, I never saw that one.
Exactly. Wow. Kim in South Carolina. Hey, Kim.
Hey. Good morning. Good morning. I just wanted to say, you know, in 2003, we had the March for Women's Lives in Washington, D.C., which was a march for abortion rights and pro-choice. Wouldn't Glenn Beck's head explode if he knew that that crowd was so much bigger than his?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. By the president talking about the, you know what? He has this crazy idea that the jobs bill might actually help with jobs.
Ah,
the
yes.
Republicans keep asking, where's the jobs?
Mm-hmm.
That's why he called it a jobs bill, so even the boner can understand.
And there's currently a jobs bill before Congress that would do two big things for small business owners. Cut more taxes and make available more loans. It would help them get the credit they need and eliminate capital gains taxes on key investments so they have more incentive to invest right now. Holding this bill hostage is directly detrimental to our economic growth.
More than jobs! I'm waiting for the boner to say that.
Where are the jobs?
It's in the
American
jobs
people need jobs.
Jobs bill. They're in the jobs bill.
But nope. We don't get the jobs.
At least the boner helps create bartender jobs.
Mm. He's probably employing the entire Barfi's Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Austin Gouldsby, the White House economic advisor.
I don't think we will have a double-dip recession, but it's clearly anybody should keep their eye on that. You saw at the Jackson Hole Fed conference in Wyoming that the Fed is eyeing that. The central bankers from around the world are paying attention to it. I think if we pass a small business recovery bill, if we do what the president is asking and extend the middle class tax cuts, and if we go with his export initiative, he's outlined various ideas to promote exports, I don't think we will have a double dip recession.
Double dip sounds so fun, though, like ice cream.
Exactly.
Dip in chocolate. And butterscotch.
Can I have the economic sprinkle?
All nuts on the top. It's great.
You know, Jim, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but...
But?
You know, corporate profits really are... they're doing very, very well.
Yes.
And it is interesting how they're not hiring. And yet we keep hearing, oh, we need to give them tax cuts, which they have now, and they're not hiring. But somehow... It's almost like they
The conspiracy
want Republicans to get into power.
Conspiracy comes from the Latin word to whisper, implying that it's secret. Everything they're doing is out in the open.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We're greedy bastards, and we want more. Screw you.
Yeah, you've got to read...
and they're getting away with it.
Paul Krugman's column, because it really... I hope people wake up before November and realize what is going to happen to this country. I mean, basically, he's saying we can't afford it right now. You know, back when they did witch hunt season against Clinton, the country was in a lot better shape.
Yep.
I mean, we are going to have nothing but solid obstructionism and witch hunts. if we, you know, mm-hmm. in fact, that leads me to a guess the quote. Was that a little too many hints?
Oh, God.
Paul Krugman?
I have not begun yet.
I'm sorry.
The last time a Democrat sat in the White House, he faced a nonstop witch hunt by his political opponents. Prominent figures on the right accused Bill and Hillary Clinton of everything from drug smuggling to murder. And once Republicans took control of Congress, they subjected the Clinton administration to unrelenting harassment, at one point taking 140 hours of sworn testimony over accusations the White House had misused its Christmas card list.
Rand Paul.
No, it's Paul Krugman,
oh,
which is
close.
Weird that you knew it's great.
I was going to guess Les Paul.
It's
well, Paul McCartney.
It's witch
or Mrs.
Hunt.
Paul and her fish sticks.
Mrs. Paul, yummy fish sticks. I'm hungry.
It's entitled It's Witch Hunt Season.
No, I'm out of Paul.
Jim,
it's great. Thanks a lot.
Who said, now it's happening again, except that this time it's even worse. Let's turn the floor over to Rush Limbaugh. Imam Hussein Obama, he recently declared, is probably the best anti-American president we've ever had. To get a sense of how much it matters when people like Mr. Limbaugh talk like this, bear in mind that he's an utterly mainstream figure within the Republican Party. Bear in mind, too, that unless something changes the political dynamics, Republicans will soon control at least one House of Congress. This is going to be very, very ugly. Who said that?
Mrs. Paul. I'm out of Paul's.
No.
Paul.
Paul Revere and the Raiders?
Paul Krugman.
Not the Raiders.
Chris Paul Krugman.
Krugman.
And yeah. Then who makes Krüger.
All right.
Is that a yummy dessert?
It sounds no, like, no, it's actually, just means like a, well, it's like a beer stein.
Oh, okay.
It can be like a pot or a, something made of.
Jane in Illinois.
Oh, hey, Steph.
Hi.
I just wanted to say, if you're ever really bored, I am in the midst of a email war with some teabaggers, and boy, you ought to read these emails.
Yeah, boy.
They have called me every name in the book,
mm-hmm.
and if they ever say, oh, we're not racist, I have the proof.
The only way they fight back is through name-calling.
Tell them that teabagging is for nuts. They'll enjoy that.
Yeah. Lover, everything else. They are so full of it when they say they are not racist.
Yeah. A little defensive much?
Don't call me racist, you bleep, 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 bleep.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Charlie Pierce on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not surprising that somebody like a Mr.
It is the...
What?
Huh?
Yeah.
Chris is drunk.
Wow.
It is
Obama's rapping with Beck. That's kind of cool.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. It's Tuesday, everybody. Time for our Tuesday pal. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America. Pierce. Pierce. Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Wow, wow, wow. Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Good morning. Who dat? Who dat? Who dat?
Who dat?
What's up?
You are volunteering, I'm told, at a free clinic in New Orleans.
I am at the one that you may have heard about on your former future ex-husband Keith Olbermann show.
You know, Charlie, it sounds to me like you're doing good works and social justice-y type things that are.
I've got my Saul Alinsky T-shirt, my genuine autographed, you know, Leon Trotsky flip-flops on. So
yes,
so I'm in great shape because he was a flip-flopper and you know he actually changed his opinion very greatly on garden tools, as I recall, but.
You are
somebody got it. Somebody got it.
You're not the right kind of Christian. You're not just yapping your pie hole about it and selling gold.
I am an awful Beckian Christian. I really am. I am a heretical Beckian Christian. They're gonna burn me at the stake if anybody can figure out how to put a stick in the ground in that crowd, which I don't think they can.
What'd you think of White Stock? That was
I mean, the Lincoln Memorial is backdrop enough. Do you have to put up like big pictures in front of it?
Yeah.
On the principle of set design, it failed.
Let's start with that anyway.
The overwhelming impression I got of it was that it was astonishingly boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glenn Beck infuriates me for a lot of different reasons, but over there it was just like a third rate.
religious, you know, third-rate tent revival. I guarantee you there are 80-year-old pastors in Tennessee who are handling rattlesnakes who are a hell of a lot more entertaining
right.
than Glenn Beck is.
Yeah. Haven't you ever heard of lowering expectations? This is going to be a transformational event
yes.
that people would talk about for decades.
Your children will ask you one day if you were there, oh, please.
Yeah, I was there because I couldn't get in the metro.
Yeah,
the metro station. So I was part of the 87,000 transformational people. How did the United States change in the 21st century? Well, we all had lawn chairs.
Did you have
lawn chairs in the 20th century? Yeah, but these were really good lawn chairs.
But Charlie, what kills me is Jim brought this up earlier. I mean, there were millions of people at anti-war rallies. It's amazing what the media chooses to cover or not. You know,
and now where we are apparently celebrating. We are celebrating the end of combat operations in Iraq today, and it's now being used by a lot of people saying, see, George Bush was right after all. That we point out that, like, a whole lot of people got in the streets and didn't make the network news saying that was a bad idea at the time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's not going to look any better in retrospect.
But I mean, politically.
By the way, I'd forgotten this, but somebody reminded me the other day. Wasn't that supposed to be the launching point for the plan?
Yeah.
Were we supposed to have the plan by now?
It was a launching point for his book.
What was the plan? Like, you know, shade lounges and sunscreen? What was the plan?
Yeah. Here's the other big story, though, is that, this is really a bad sign for Democrats in the November. I mean, I'm going, these aren't new voters, are they? They're old white Republicans that have always voted Republican. I mean, it's...
And they're all going to show up, and if the Democrats don't, then the Democrats will get a whooping they deserve.
Yep.
I mean, if any Democratic voter who looks at this crowd and thinks they're going away and won't show up next fall is kidding themselves.
I think it's going to be a cattywampus election season, in my opinion. It's, you know, because they get one storyline. Oh, it's anti-incumbent season, and then, you know, John McCain gets in, and whoever else. It's like...
I think the Democrats have been saved by their choices of enemies again. I think there are a lot of seats that could be in play that aren't because the Republicans are insisting on nominating crazy people.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be 94. I think it's probably going to be bad, but I don't think it's going to be 94.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that shaping up, but you know, almost anything can happen between now and then. I mean, Glenn Beck is becoming a religious leader. Anything can happen in this great country of ours.
Mm-hmm. I was just talking about Paul Krugman's piece. I don't know if you saw it. You know, it's witch hunt season, but
that's coming. Believe me, they're announcing the Arkansas project in advance this time.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly.
I mean, they're not sneaking around Arkansas, you know, talking to fish camp owners and disgraced judges, and then all of a sudden it erupts in the media. They're announcing in advance. It's going to come from the Congress if they get a chance. There's no question. You're going to see the House, government operations committee investigating the four guys in the berets outside the polling place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I hope if they do that, I hope they subpoena the woman on the cell phone because she's still my favorite part of that video.
But you know what?
The terrifying, intimidating voter intimidators there with the woman on her cell phone setting up, you know, where she's going to meet somebody for a glass of wine after work that day.
Exactly.
By the way, I'm intimidated standing here, but we should, like, really meet because we can have some fun, and I met a new guy from marketing.
You know, but I think, you know, the point of Krugman's piece that I was talking about is, you know, he says, you know, if you recall, it was a time of peace and prosperity, too, with the, you know, when it got to be silly season when the Clintons were in. You know, but the country, I mean, we really can't afford this now. I mean,
I think he's absolutely right about we can't afford, you know, government as entertainment anymore.
Right. He said in the 1990s.
The interpretation is going to be if these lunatics get in there and start gumming up the works with a whole bunch of useless investigations, people aren't going to conclude that the people are morons who are gumming up the government. They're just going to conclude government doesn't work.
Right. I mean, Krugman writes, we're still suffering the after effects of the worst economic crisis since the 1930s. We can't afford to have a federal government paralyzed by an opposition with no interest in helping the president govern, but that's like what we're likely to get. And it is terrifying when you think of, Go ahead.
And I hate to say this because it's going to put me on the side of the professional left, but I don't think this White House has a freaking clue what's coming down the tracks. I really don't. I mean, I think there are people in this White House who still think these are people that can be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And that scares the heck out of me because they can't be.
Well, I mean,
not interested in helping you. They're not interested in helping the country. They're interested in helping themselves.
Well, you know, that's what Krugman ends with. He says, if I were President Obama, I'd be doing all I could to head off this prospect, offering some major new initiatives on the economic front in particular, if only to shake up the political dynamic. But my guess is the president will continue to play it safe all the way to catastrophe.
Yep.
I don't see any indication that he's not. He's getting out there and talking about it a little bit, but, you know, you've got one of the two major political parties in this country has handed itself over to lunatics.
Mm-hmm.
That ought to be a political issue.
Yep.
I mean, it's not insulting. It's just the way it is.
You
and,
can't,
You can't be conflict averse during an election year.
Well, no, I mean,
just,
what do you?
Not just that, but you know, somebody pointed out to me the other day, even in the 60s and 70s, the Democrats didn't elect Abby Hoffman to Congress.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they've been paying for the excesses of the quote unquote 60s for 30 years now.
Mm-hmm.
But the Republicans are nominating their crazy people.
Right. Well, I mean,
this guy Paul Ryan in Wisconsin is a vandal. He's not a congressman. He's a guy with a can of spray. He's a guy with a copy of Atlas Shrugs in one hand and a can of spray paint in the other.
You know, but
if government was an abandoned railroad car, it would say Paul Ryan all over the side of it now.
Right. I mean, you know, but I think what certainly the president is expressing frustration with that. You know, here he is in the middle of trying to deal with like a crisis a day in this administration, and you know, we've got this poll showing a third of Americans don't think he's Christian. This is the president yesterday.
I can't spend all my time with my birth certificate plastered on my forehead. it is what the facts are, the facts, and so it's not something that I can spend all my time worrying about.
I mean, go ahead.
I will grant him that. But he can spend his time beating the hell out of the people who are using the phony birth certificate controversy to their political advantage.
Right.
He doesn't have to beat up the people who believe it. He has to beat up the opportunists who are using it to get themselves elected.
You know, I think it was Howard Feynman on Hardball yesterday that, I mean, literally said, yeah, he needs to pick a church. I mean, does he need to? It just,
God.
That's what I mean. It just is amazing the way politics is. It's like people need to see him on the TV going into a Christian church.
First of all, Howard, even if he does it, the people who think he's a Muslim aren't going to believe him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then he's going to look like he's responding to the craziest elements of society.
Yes.
What he needs to do is tell those people to shut the hell up.
The way at me, I was going in circles.
Oh,
well,
sorry, your fries are ready.
I'm walking around in circles on the sidewalk outside the convention center, and a gentleman said I was making him look tired.
So, oh,
that's live radio. That's radio verite right there.
Yeah, exactly. I thought you were doing a little skit.
Radio verite, Cher.
What we call on National Public Radio, ambient noise.
Yes, exactly. Ambulatory noise.
Ambulatory noise. Oh, there he goes. See you later, pal.
All right. The president also, by the way, responded to the this whole whatever, not a mosque, not ground zero thing, gate.
If you can build a church on that site, if you can build a synagogue on that site or a Hindu temple on that site, then we can't treat people of the Islamic faith differently.
You know, and by the way, he pointed out the same thing I did.
That
I don't think he walked back his statement. He said, I was very specific with my team. The core value and principle that every American is treated the same doesn't change. At a White House celebration, I had Muslim Americans who had been in uniform fighting in Iraq. How can you say to them their religious faith is less worthy of respect? That's something I feel very strongly about.
No, I think he's done the right thing on this. But again, I don't think he recognizes that if it wasn't the ground zero, it would be something else. There are people. I mean, I think it all goes back to what I think is his terribly overrated speech at the 2004 Democratic Convention, where he came out for the belief that basically we're a really good bunch of folks who occasionally get misled. No, there are a lot of us who don't care.
Exactly.
There are a lot of us who really who really aren't interested in being a self-governing republic. And as soon as we all realize that, the better. I mean, I'm very grumpy down here, but that's the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, this president really believes that there is some coming together on the issues that can be done. And there's one side that doesn't want to do that.
Right.
Mm.
And they never have. And they haven't since. I mean, these are people who took a kind of watery centrist Bill Clinton and tried to run him out of office.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, that's what, you know, obviously the bigger, you know, part of Krugman's piece is that there are people that just they don't consider anyone they consider liberal to be a legitimate president. Or
and they don't think any Democrat is. That's the thing. I mean, a Democrat is de facto a usurper if he gets elected, if he gets enough votes to get elected.
Yeah. Yeah. As you say, Clinton and Obama both are so moderate that, you know.
Yeah.
Obama needs to find his inner LBJ and dump the inner Dukakis.
Yeah. At this point, I'm willing to go past that. I'd like him to find his inner Huey Long.
Yeah.
Right now. But it's really time to start, you know, wrecking some people.
Right.
Yeah.
It's time to find the hidden cameras in the motels out by the airport.
Right.
Congressman, how are you?
Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe, author of Idiot America, out in paperback. Thank you, Charlie. See you next week.
Who dat? Who dat? See you later.
Who dat?
Who dat? All right.
Charlie Pierce, that's it.
Exactly. 46 minutes after the hour, right back with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's kind of hot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Gotta feel it. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour, mere moments away from Tuesdays with Tyler. Aisha Tyler joins us live in studio just a couple of minutes. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Chris in New York. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
You know what Howard Simon should do? Howard Simon should read the Constitution. Instead of saying Obama should go to church, he should say the Constitution says there shall be no religious test for office.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah.
And we're getting lost in this argument about what religion is he, you know. I mean, let's just follow the Constitution for Christ's sake already, you know?
All right. Lawrence, or not.
Yeah.
Lawrence in Memphis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey.
Not for Christ's sake is basically my point.
Hey, I was there. I interacted with those people at the rally. And I'm telling you, man, these all you black folks, listen, I'm a black guy. We better stop making these white folks mad. or else these white folks are going to get mad at us. They're going to have rallies with 300,000 people. Better be careful. Don't get these white folks mad at us. Mm. Or they're going to have people like Glenn Beck coming at us. Nah, but I kid.
No. I had a feeling that was a skit. Yeah. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Oh, Jim, is it more just basic garden variety self-importance, or is it God complex? How many parts messianic complex, and how many parts self-importance, Glenn Beck?
This made history this weekend.
Yes.
This will be in American history books, as I told you it would be. But this made history this week.
How? In what way?
It did not make history.
It sold a few books, maybe.
Yeah. It was 87,000 people.
Clown.
That's not, as far as crowds on the mall goes, it's not a very big crowd.
Well, Lawrence O'Donnell was saying, you just show up. I have a film crew and it's out on the mall.
Yeah.
20,000 people will show up. You know,
you have 87,000 tourists there each day.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, on a Saturday afternoon on the mall in
right.
good weather. Gee, a lot of people are there.
Yeah.
What are the odds?
All right. Sippy Cup, our good friend.
S.E. Cup?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Her on the Fox News.
For all of their interest in tolerance and freedom of speech and freedom of religion, the liberal thought police are out in full force to tell you that you cannot have certain opinions.
Oh,
that you
S-E.
Cannot, that there's
Come
a line you can cross in
Come
a debate,
on.
That you can't have one belief or you're Islamophobic or racist. Or nativist. I mean, it's absolutely, it's intimidating, and it's akin to censorship.
No, it isn't. You can say any damn thing you want, but you
yeah.
will be criticized for it.
Exactly.
Dennis Prager saying something like that to me last night on Larry King? Something about the Islamic takeover of the country.
Help! I'm being repressed!
What?
Bloody peasant! Oh, I'll give away.
Why is it that right-wingers, when you know someone contradicts them or says something opposite of their beliefs, they get all whiny
yeah.
and cryy like that?
How dare you criticize anything I say? It's unconstitutional!
Shut up.
Why won't you give us a free Stephcast?
Yeah, newsbusters.
Right.
We want a free newscast!
What are you, a bunch of socialists? Go
you just said something
pay
mean to
for
me
it.
Because I just used the N-word 50 times in a row. Okay.
You're digging me by First Amendment rights.
Brian Kilmeade on the Fox yeah. and Friends.
One in five, according to a Pew Research poll, one in five Americans thinks he's a Muslim. That's 18%.
Wow.
34% think
yeah.
he's a Christian. That's down from 48%. But if he was worried about that, wouldn't he have changed his, kept his name as Barry and not Barack?
Yeah, what the fox? Where could they be getting the idea that the president is...
His name is Barack.
But they,
Brian, that's why he calls himself Barack.
But they,
Tool.
But they, all these right-wing pinheads argue at the same time that he's a bad Christian because of Reverend Wright, and he's a Muslim simultaneously.
Yes. Well, that's how bad a Christian
Those
he is.
Those two thoughts are incompatible. They are oxymoronic. You're just moronic. But those two thoughts do
it's
not
my favorite
One
thing.
Of these things is not like the other.
Years and years.
That's
and Jim
saying.
Still tries to make sense of right-wing world. It's so cute. Okay, Glenn Beck again.
I want to show you first that miracle that happened at 10:59 or 9:59. There were several versions of what was happening. At 9:59, what happened was there was a flock of geese that ran.
Oh.
It was a flyover, if you will.
Yes.
It was perfect coordination and perfect timing. Coincidence? Maybe. I think it was God's flyover.
Yeah.
What?
And I think you're a moron.
Geese fly over the mall all the time.
In V formation. That's what they do. You moron.
Wow.
It was God.
Birds flew
speaking to me
outside
through geese.
That means...
And they dropped their holy poop on my head. I was anointed by the poop of the Lord.
It was God saying, I love you, Glenn Beck. You are my
And then they
prophet.
Took out an airplane which crashed into the Hudson.
It's God's will.
Wow.
That's...
Wow. He's taking credit for the birds now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, he claims he directed the movie, too. Thinks he's Alfred Hitchcock.
Uh-huh. Okay, Fred Barnes on the...
If Jewish terrorists, in the name of their religion, or some perverted version of it, had attacked the World Trade Center, then you couldn't build a synagogue. You would have opposition to that, or a Hindu temple. Or if Christians had become terrorists, a group of them, and had attacked the World Trade Center in the name
building?
Of Christianity, or some perverted version of it, then you wouldn't want to see a church there.
Yeah, they still have churches in Oklahoma City.
Exactly.
Oh, by the way, I brought up Tim McVeigh to Dennis Prager last night, and he thought, Jim, that was completely a false analogy. He didn't, he didn't twist Christianity.
He wasn't a Christian or a terrorist.
How is that?
He's white. Look at him, he's white.
Shooting an abortion doctor in church in front of his family or blowing up an abortion clinic. How is that not Christian terrorism?
Uh-huh.
Or Christian extremism?
Yeah.
I don't
the whole Tiller thing is an exact comparison.
Yes. All right. Kraut, by the way, I kind of ate Dennis Prager's lunch. I'm just saying.
If
you
want to
go watch
it
on StephanieMiller.com, I got to say, I don't normally take credit. He was a little bit of a cat toy last night.
Mm-hmm.
He was mama's biatch. Okay. Krauthammer on the Brit.
This is how liberals operate. You raise the rates across the board, and then the government will deign to return some of the money on a targeted tax cut, meaning if you do exactly as they say, which means... For example, if they favor, say, high-tech investment and they'll give you a cut on capital gains and you have a business in which you don't need that but you need to spend on marketing, the government thinks it knows how to redirect your capital in a superior way.
What the hell is he talking about?
I don't really know. I think he's just concerned he will not be able to afford the black shoe polish he uses on his hair.
In other words, letting the Bush tax cuts expire, which was written into it. It was on the document that he signed that they would expire December 31st, 2010. It's in the bill.
Someone on the live blog says that Charles Krauthammer looks like a villain from Dick Tracy.
Yeah. He does.
Mm-hmm. He really does.
Hey, Newsbusters, Aisha Tyler's on her way in.
Yeah. Start the recording.
You might get a good old-fashioned court reporter since you can't afford to buy the Steph cap.
No!
Get someone to take dictation. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Watch me eat Dennis Prager's lunch on Larry King last night. Sucka. Up in the video section. You can email us all there as well. And it's Tuesday.
Aisha Tyler, actress, author, and activist.
So today's Tuesday. It gives us...
Tuesdays with Tyler. Aisha Tyler. And
Tyler.
Thank you for all the emails. Yes, I did discover Aisha Tyler. I invented her.
Yeah, what a great actress she is. She's an actress.
I get so many letters thanking me for you. I'm like, you're welcome. I'm just like, I'm your parents. I'm your parents, your agent, all rolled into one.
Very confusing set of genetic steps between you and I, including you having me when you were like a fetus.
Apparently. I'm like, they're like, she's awesome, smart, hilarious, gorgeous. I'm like, I know. I discovered her.
Thanks, Mom, for sending all those emails in. It must have taken you days to make all those new email clients.
I created her in my laboratory.
I'm happy. And yes, actually, after the show is over, I just kind of melt down and roll under the sofa and wait for the next week, yeah.
And by the way, I think, we're not really sure whether Newsbusters, the right-wing organization that likes to, you know, talk
yes,
about every single word you say.
They hate me.
Well, yeah, but they were whining that we wouldn't give them a free Stephcast.
Yeah.
And so I think right now they have like sort of an old-fashioned like stenographer like typing down every word you're saying on their big old-fashioned computer because they can't afford the Stephcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Let's give you a free transcript of the show so that you can then take everything we say literally with your ingenuousness and your earnesty and your dumbness.
How do you spell nutsack?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it one word or is there
the Europeans end it with a C. And there's an umlaut over the A. That's the European.
Noir.
It just de noir, noisette, petite sacre noisette.
Sounds much prettier.
Try to spell that, Newsbusters.
Lefty actress Aisha Tyler
and her crazy French.
All right. By the by, Roger in Berkeley writes, Dear Steph and the Mooks, please quit making fun of the way Sarah Palin talks. It's an Alaskan dialect, especially common around the Arbor Wasilla. It's called Snowbonics.
We thought that was going one way and it went another, didn't we?
Seriously, Aisha Tyler, I'm sure you watched Glenn Beckapalooza. Please decode this for us.
It is so humbling to get to be here with you today, patriots.
What?
You who are motivated and engaged and concerned, knowing to never retreat. I must assume.
What?
I must assume
my face
that
hurts.
You too, knowing that no, we must not fundamentally transform America as some would want. We must restore America and restore her honor.
Oh my God.
Okay, what did she say?
I think what she said was, I am so happy to be here, having quit my job as governor of Alaska, to be taking these checks from many organizations, some PAC, some creepy, maybe some associated with small sects of the Klan, which I do not pay attention to, thus just looking at who signs the checks, but not the number which goes into my bank account, thus buying me this lovely suit I purchased at Lowman's. I will never retreat from my shopping sprees. I will only keep raking in the dough until I have a show on the History Channel. Thank you.
And by the way,
and
I quit.
Good night.
Good night. Wow. What do you say about the whole Beckapalooza? Did you see...
I don't want to go here right at the top of the show, but I will. I couldn't actually bring myself to watch. I couldn't like stand and actually watch the car accident. I had to like kind of peruse later and just look at the glass and try to figure out what happened.
yes.
But there's blood there. Maybe that was there before. I don't want to be a jerk. There were so many black people up on stage. It was like I was having an out of body experience and seeing all of my ancestors collected and complaining about why I hadn't had kids
Martin
yet.
Martin Luther King's crazy niece.
Oh, crazy niece who just has to be on stage. She has to be. You know what? That's what the problem with us as Americans. We just got to be on stage. Doesn't matter what we're up there for. You know what I mean? I'm famous for a sex tape. Oh, who cares, honey? Look at your suit. But let me say this about that. So many black people. It's like it was like the Republican National Convention. Mm-hmm. 10 people, black people on stage, 0.2 black people in the audience. There was not even an entire black person walking around in that.
It was white Republicans.
I was searching. I wanted to see a person of any color. Was there an octoroon or somebody who had a drink with a Native American?
Anything?
Liked Chinese food? No, nothing. No, there was no ethnicity at all in the audience. And, you know, they said they couldn't carry the signs, which meant that people had to wear things on their clothes.
Yeah.
And I knew you guys saw the shirt, the guy with the tattoo, the misspelled T-shirt.
Oh, no. Which one?
Oh, God. I'll find him. So there was a guy walking, because no one could carry signs, because Glenn insists that the Tea Party movie is not racist, except for the part where there's a picture of Obama, and he's like a monkey, witch doctor, astronaut.
Right.
Astronaut orangutan with a bone through his nose.
Yeah.
And, also playing basketball at the same time, which is hard to draw.
Yeah.
Really hard to draw. They had to hire a team for that.
Yeah.
But people were wearing T-shirts and tattoos and stickers. So one guy had a T-shirt that said something like, blacks own slaves in Mauritania, which is a new country I had never heard of. I had to Wikipedia that one. It's next to Mauritania. And Haiti.
Yes.
And a couple other places that he'd never heard of, nor been, nor seen on Google Maps. And he's wearing this sign around somehow like, oh, blacks own slaves, therefore slavery is okay. That's like walking around saying, men have sex with boys in Indonesia, thus me fondling my neighbor's son. Okay. Why is that okay? How does that... Sure, people are jackholes everywhere. Thus, yes. And especially, you know, on the mall. And he had another T-shirt underneath because he carried that T-shirt on because he's not getting on the subway in D.C. in Chocolate City with that T-shirt on. So he wore one that said, "Hey, black people are awesome."
Not the green or the yellow one.
And then he pulled that one over it when he was inside the perimeter of Caucasia.
And you saw he walked back his "the president is a racist" sort of, and then kind of made it worse. He's like, "Oh, I didn't mean racist. I mean, he's the wrong kind of Christian.
Honey,
it's weird.
I love you, but you made me hit you. That was the apology you made. I'm sorry that you always make me hit you. If you didn't make me so angry, I wouldn't hit you. So I'm sorry that you make me angry." That was what he said.
And then he took credit for the birds. Did
I want to show you first that that miracle that happened at 10:59 or 9:59. There were several versions of what was happening at 9:59. What happened was there was a flock of geese that ran. It was a flyover,
geese,
if you will.
Wow.
It was perfect coordination and perfect timing. Coincidence? Maybe.
Yes.
I think it was God's flyover.
Yes. God's going to send geese. God's not going to send swans or doves.
Or angels.
God buzzed the tower.
Not even one little fat cherub. No, he's going to send a bunch of crappy, drippy, honky geese.
I've been anointed in the crap of the Lord.
Dumped poop all over that incredibly diverse, wide-ranging crowd of people.
This morning, the sun came up. Proof of God.
Miracle?
Wants me to run this country.
This morning I moved my bowels. Thank you, Jesus, for making my pooper continue to work.
President yesterday.
It's not surprising that somebody like a Mr. Beck is able to stir up a certain portion of the country. That's been true throughout our history.
I like him so much. It was so dismissive without being dismissive. He didn't refer to the actual Mr. Beck. He referred to a hypothetical man like a Mr. Beck. It's like there's some people like these ones out here. I don't know. Who are they? What do you call them? I'm the POTUS, jackholes. I don't care. I rule this bitch. That was the subtext of that.
Yeah.
Newsbusters, Aisha Tala has never actually heard the president say, "I rule this bitch."
No, I haven't. Don't
she
guess.
Was That was a comedic styling.
Oh, minions of disingenuous earnesty. Please do not take that as a literal statement.
How do you spell disingenuous?
I would Wikipedia
that. That's how we
that.
Can outsmart them. It's just use words that are too big for them to smell.
They'd go Wikipedia that if their stenograph machine actually connected to Wikipedia.
Jan in Amherst, my right-wing pal at the transit from my hometown of Lackport. Hi, Jan.
Hi, I decided that every time you use that gratuitous attack on my voice, I'm simply going to say Rainbow Bridge, and I'm just going to disarm you for it temporarily. I won't bring the tear to your eyes.
Oh. Hi, Jan.
So, having lost a dog, Aisha, I have to say, you are kind of nasty.
Aww.
And please, this is not meant to be anything, but I'm just going to tell you a couple instances. The Michelle Malkin episode.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden we hear jackhole about Glenn Beck. And I got to tell you, it really was almost an innocuous type of a gathering. They were talking about God. You know, it was one of these things where it wasn't really nasty.
Well, he was actually, more specifically, he was a jackhole talking about God, I think is her point.
I'm listening.
Please don't accuse me. Don't accuse me and Sarah Palin of now being with the KKK. You know, these are things that are kind of incendiary, to say the least. So,
okay.
My whole point, no, you can do because this is a morning zoo show now.
Yes.
It really has turned into that, guys.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. It's only a zoo when the black girl's here. So we'll leave you to read the subtext.
Jan, I want
you to know, I think it's fair for you to say that you think that my tone is nasty or incendiary. I am not a pundit or a politician. I don't get up in front of large crowds of people and claim to be anointed by God or call the president.
The geese didn't choose her. She would like to
communist.
Be. Yeah.
I'm a comedian. That is my job. I'm a satirist. And satire is the foundation of democracy because we must speak truth to power. We must lambaste these people.
She
who
didn't
take
actually
so seriously.
She didn't actually mean that Sarah Palin is in the Klan.
Yeah, I didn't. And if you take it, I'm a comedian. Glenn Beck does not present himself as a comedian when he calls the president a communist or says that he hates white people. I'm a comedian. I've never presented myself as anything but that. So you can say I'm not funny, which I wholeheartedly will accept, even though you're wrong.
We're not casting a vote for Glenn Beck.
No, and you're not casting a vote for me either, honey.
No, but what's happening is they're
by listening,
you for Glenn Beck, but we are getting into our cars, flying in a plane, going onto the Mall of Washington, and maybe being 100,000, and I'm not even going to argue the numbers. So, but what, Please explain this to me. And this is a, this
I'm
is
listening.
One of these befuddling things. We know that there was a counter rally, which was held by Reverend Sharpton.
Uh-huh.
We know,
there was no
we know this for a fact.
Bio
we never
there.
Knew about it. I knew about it for months ago because he's claiming that he didn't have enough time, but it's been going on since April. Now,
are you going to be a size queen here? Is that what you're bringing up now, that Glenn Beck had a bigger crowd? Is that the deal?
Well, he was able to get that much crowd. I mean, that's incontrovertible.
He's got a television show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. You know, when Al Sharpton
and a radio
Aisha,
show.
Aisha, one thing I know about
that wasn't full of violator.
And all the people in Hollywood is that anyone who makes a dollar more is more popular. So it's always
what?
Like you want to be the best, and you're always looking
no,
for
No, I'm not
job.
John. I think here's
that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying
you're
that's not what I'm saying.
For an audience, right?
No,
you're to alienate people.
No.
Is that what you're
well, here's to? The. I think here's the most important thing is you can't quit us, can you, John?
I mean, this is a progressive. This is a progressive radio show. I think that no one has ever. It says it right on the wall. I'm glad I went to college and I can read, because it's a long word. This is a progressive radio show. So if you feel alienated by it, by the tone of the show or the things that we're saying, I think it's fair for you to make a couple of choices. Either accept the fact that a large part of this is satire, which, as I said, is a fundamental element of free speech and democracy, and I think needs to be exercised.
No, I had him at hello.
Turn.
I complete him. Yeah. He never, John. You're never going to leave me.
Or
are you?
John, you can
yeah,
go and
no,
listen
I
to
I,
another.
I,
show. I don't think you should. I think
treated,
the show's awesome.
I'm treated fairly by you. We are definitely polar opposites in terms of that.
I know.
I just barely brought up a circumstance that
right.
you kind of created yourself.
I'll
all
also
right.
tell you something.
You know, I
believe in vigorous dialogue.
Care.
A conversation is good. A conversation, it's fair for you to disagree. That's what's great
yes.
about this country. I love to have a discussion. I will never tell anybody I think they're a bad person because of what they've said, except for maybe Glenn Beck.
John, and
but
this will really...
But what I disagree, and that's okay. We can disagree. That's what's great about America.
And if we were really a morning zoo, we'd say you have to get back to your Klan meeting now. But see, we're not going to do
and
that.
And then we make honking and fart sounds and we hang up in your face. That would be the morning zoo thing to do.
We would say something like we couldn't hear you through your hood, but all right.
Yeah.
But we don't do
we
that
know.
Here. We had a conversation
no.
20 minutes after the
don't
hour.
Don't take it all so seriously, America.
And it's not a grassroots thing. It's funded by the Koch brothers for
thank
Koch's
you.
Sake.
Thank you. 20 minutes after the hour, right back Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Your perpetual motion machine endlessly satisfy every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. What are you insinuating?
Particularly juicy on Tuesdays because it's Tuesdays with Tyler.
Hello.
Yeah.
25 minutes after the hour.
Oh, how exciting.
Mm.
Won't take a pound.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking
about. This politics be sexy, baby.
We're sex it up for you a little bit. Barbara in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Barbara.
Hey, Stephanie. I have a daughter.
Oh, on the other bit of talk, I'm a nemotic.
Yeah, for you.
Wow.
Okay.
Huh?
Well,
Greek?
I'm claiming, first of all,
was Hebrew.
You rock. You're just, the two of you are fabulous together. So
thank you.
Keep up with what you're saying because America has it so wrong.
Oh,
so I'm claiming Barak as a member of one of the 12 lost tribes because Barak means lightning in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's really a Jew.
Oh, great. Know? Now you're going to start that rumor, Barbara. Good job.
He's a bad Christian Muslim Jew now.
Yeah, great. He's a Jewy kind of Muslim. Oh, great. Oh, Fox News is
losing time.
You know what those people are like.
Oh,
those
no.
Those black, bad Christian Muslim Jews.
In a completely unrelated story, Mel Gibson.
I like a beer as much as the next bloke, unless the next bloke is Mel Gibson.
Believe it or not, more than three-quarters of the respondents in a new 60 Minutes Vanity Fair poll said the release of those audio tapes of Gibson's phone calls with his estranged ex-girlfriend would have no effect on the likelihood of their seeing one of his movies.
I know, because we are a country who have lost our soul.
Well, 76% said no effect at all.
More, we've got intense moral indignation over this, over the length of the FLOTUS's shorts. What a whore! You can see her knees, but this guy beats his wife when she's holding his baby.
Yes,
right. Whores around on his other wife of like 18 years and 19 kids.
He's incorrigible.
And then
the next movie coming
out? Puckish, you and your puckishness. Let's go AOC, Lethal Weapon 18.
But when
you
he's
know,
sober.
I'm really too old for this.
When he's sober, apparently he's a really nice guy.
You know what? I told you that I've met him several times, yeah. and I wish I had a time machine to go back and, like, undo all my friendliness. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because I was...
want to get in the DeLorean and...
Yeah, just hop right in there and go backwards my flux capacitor so I can kick Melanie's leg, you old poopy pirate.
So yeah, he's going to have to work harder to alienate American moviegoers, yeah, apparently.
Right.
I'm not sure what he has to do at this point.
Because
I think he actually punched the baby. So, and
he punched the baby. The punch broke the woman's teeth out. A tooth hit the baby in the eye. You know what I mean? The baby's going to have to
wear
a patch.
What do you have to do to alienate American moviegoers?
Baby. I bet you we don't know if he's eating a baby. Jan, don't call back. I don't think Mel's eating a baby.
You know the magic of all this, though. It means we'll probably get to see Jodie Foster's Beaver.
Wow.
The movie, The Beaver.
What?
She's directing. He's in it. The Beaver.
Oh yeah,
the movie The Beaver.
People say though, he is what I'm more concerned with is Americans. You know, I mean, we just go wherever it smells like burgers. But
burgers.
That smell, and there we are. But I feel like what I was excited about in this town was that at least people finally took. I mean, this is a town that's built on avarice and love of money. But for a minute, people took a stand, and his agency dropped him, and people generally have kind of shunned him, which is what you do in a village when somebody poops
has
in the
an
well.
Idiot. When a village has an idiot.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, that guy pooped in the well. Maybe we don't give him half of our yams. So I feel like maybe I would like
us just poop some more
as
to
a
give
town. Yes, it's just encouraging him pooping in the well again. Maybe we'll stand our ground here in this town and not make another movie with Mo Gibson.
Right.
Wouldn't that be? He's got enough money to make his own movies.
You know
maybe
what
we just
he
don't
will,
give him any.
You know what he will get on is Dancing with the Stars, because they will put anything,
they will
anybody
do anything. Anyone. Come on. Have you had a sex tape with a baby while you punched your wife in the face? Come on. Down.
We will tell you who is on the new Dancing with the Stars as we continue on the
Mel Gibson did not have sex with a baby. Please stop typing your emails, please.
They're still Googling avarice. Newsbusters is like, what?
How do you spell avarice?
And yams.
29 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Also, you should all be nicer to
Stephanie Miller.
I am always nice to her.
To her face.
It is the...
That's Aisha
Tyler.
Lana Kane. She's never nice to anybody.
It's Tuesdays with Tyler, Aisha Tyler, live in studio. It's all the rage. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Stop fingering your iPad, for God's sake.
I know
sakes.
I am. I'm looking at it like a person.
She's more in love with her iPad than Hal Sparks is, for God's sakes. Gadgets.
I will say I get it out on the. You ever have like a thought and in your head you think this is not okay to be feeling this way? Like I really believe in like just generally trying to practice. You know, I'm a comedian, so we live through bombast. But I try to like practice humility in my real life. But every time I'm on the plane, I bust my iPad out immediately and I tilt it towards the aisle so that everyone can see how much better I am than they are. You see the glow, the shine of my iPad. Look at your tiny screen.
Well, now I have to one up you. David in Minneapolis has a Steph app on his Palm Pre.
Ooh.
Hello, David.
Hello, guys. Yes. I know you're not the most technical person ever, Stephanie.
No.
But you now have your own application for Palm Pre and the Palm Pixie.
And I just took this call to make Aisha Tyler jealous.
I am
but what
jealous.
Is it? What is an app and what's a Palm Pre?
You're adorable. She's over there pounding her foo-foo with a rock.
Palm Pre is the greatest phone ever, except it's not Apple. And if you Google install Prewear, Prewear, you can get like 800 free apps. So one of them is the Stephanie Miller app, and it has your box on it. So you can be out with your friends, and you can press the computer says no.
Wow.
Or you are an idiot or whatever, and it's completely free.
That's awesome.
Yeah, fabulous.
It's really
my box gets around. Trust me on this.
Yeah, I got womp, 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 and then womp after that.
Lady Gaga is no Aisha Tyler. She is scared of mobile phones.
What?
She is reported terrified of getting a brain tumor from using a cell phone. Now insists, I love this. This is my favorite part.
Carrying around a rotor.
She insists a member of her entourage hold her phone a short distance away from her whenever she has to make a
call. Sure, you get cancer in your wrist there, peon.
That she insists whenever she makes a call, one of her team keys the numbers into her phone and then holds it to her face.
What a douche. I mean, I need to come up with another word for it because douche is so effective, but I don't want to wear it out. You know what I mean? I don't want to get any holes in my douche.
I guess she's not big on the private conversation.
Yeah. Also, just like what's happening? Why are people like this? Don't. This is like a terrible way to function. Who do you think you are, Xerxes? Pick up your own freaking phone. And if you can't do it, wait until you get home and use a rotary phone.
Put it
you
on
know
speaker.
What I mean? Yeah, like, just unacceptable behavior. I'm sure someone else, you know, peels her grapes and, you know, cleans her bits and pieces.
Hopefully your friend isn't telling her something really private and embarrassing.
Right, exactly.
My assistant loved that story.
God, the infection seems to be clearing up. Like, you need more ointment.
All right. Dancing with the Stars. Mrs. Brady, Florence Henderson, he's on Dancing with our buddy, our pal, Margaret Cho.
We love Margaret. We want Margaret to win. We want Margaret to
Oh, by the way, I ran into her a couple of weeks ago, Aisha, and she's like, I'm so jealous that Aisha Tyler gets to do your show. I'm like, well, you could do it for free, too.
Yeah, come on in, lady. Bring your own breakfast. I love Margaret Cho. She's awesome and so funny. We just performed together at the Improv a couple weeks ago.
She really? Yeah, she's funniest, hilarious.
The Situation is on there.
Yes, The Situation. David Hasselhoff. Let's see.
It's great because what's going to happen is The Situation will be on there, and depending on how many weeks he makes it, that'll be how many people get a cold sore. 7 weeks. 7 cold sores.
Jennifer Grey. Oh, I'm guessing nobody's going to put Baby in the Corner.
No.
We know that for sure. That'll be an outcome.
You wonder if she's on her. I mean, it's going to be pressure on her. To be like on her, gets like Baryshnikov, well, not like Baryshnikov, but like a tiny, not so talented, not so trained Baryshnikov going on a dancing show. You know, people are like going to be like, she's going to be scrutinized.
Yes.
You know, well, if they can figure out who she is, because her nose is gone and she looks nothing like the Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
And if anyone hasn't seen her, she's beautiful, but she's a different woman.
Her nose is gone from surgery. The implication was not cocaine like
not
Paris Hilton's. Oops! Allegedly.
Oh, my God.
All right, are you ready for this? Are you ready for the fun facts on the Paris Hilton cocaine bust in Vegas?
Yes, let's hear it.
Okay.
Will you tell the story? I'm going to look up the word for what it is when you are imbibing of marijuana inside a closed
Put down that iPad.
Space.
Back away from the iPad and listen to Mama.
I'm listening to Mama.
TMZ reports that she'll be charged with a felony for getting caught with 0.8 grams of coke in Las Vegas over the weekend. I've never even seen coke, I have to tell you, so I don't really know. Is that a lot, 0.8 grams?
0.8 grams. 0.8 grams. I'm trying to think back to my other life when
I did
drugs.
She grabbed her iPad again to see how much 0.8 grams is.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't do those things. I drink booze like an American.
Hold on.
This is going to shock you. She apparently, Jim, not that bright. Mm. She tried the whole, I got to go to the bathroom.
Flush the evidence.
And so,
how do you do that in the car? Wait a minute. I need
the
to
cop held on to her purse and escorted her to the hotel so she could use the bathroom. Once they were inside, she asked the cop if she could get some lip chap.
Some lip
out of her purse.
Lip chap?
The cop went on to write, as she began to open it, I saw a small bindle of what I believed to be cocaine in a clear baggie begin to fall from the person into my hand.
Oh, come on. It has some, there's a word called like chamber or something. Here, street. Clam bake! It's called a clam bake.
She pulled an excuse straight out of every episode of Cops by saying the coke wasn't hers.
Of course.
Yes, of course.
I'm just carrying it for a friend.
She said actually neither the purse was not hers either. That her friend let her borrow the purse.
Sure, you rich lady.
She said, and wait, it gets better. She had seen the bag of coke in the purse earlier, but thought it was gum.
Yes,
She's
of course.
She's as dumb as rocks. I mean, literally as dumb as rocks.
Who hasn't mistaken
She's
cocaine
now,
for
yes.
gum?
Gum for gum. Yes, who hasn't confused a little folded up piece of paper that looks like a tiny envelope?
This dentine is giving me gum freeze.
And
what
has
is
no branding of any kind on it, and it's powder and not chewy.
She's now telling friends she thinks she was a setup. She admitted to friends the purse is hers, but believes someone dropped the coke into her bag. I had no idea the cocaine was there. She said, I swear in my life it could be a setup. Everyone knows how against cocaine I am.
Nicole Richie.
How against cocaine I am. And by against cocaine, I mean pressed up against it like a lover. So dumb. I really want to know. There's another word, but like, so maybe there's got to be at least one person who smokes pot who listens to this show. What do you think?
Oh, no.
You think? No. Okay, good. Yeah.
Hardly any progressives 60s hippies.
Livers. So, but there's another word for clam bakes. Like, she was apparently, the way she got busted was that she pulled over on the strip.
Yeah, it looked like a Cheech and Chong car
was
smoking. It was coming out of the Escalade.
Yes, and they you fill it up with smoke.
Yes.
And then you try to, you know, breathe away all of your childhood issues and problems with your parents. So that's how you define clam bake. That's what they were doing by the side of the road there.
Okay, fine. Thank
smart.
You.
She's so smart. I want to hug all her smartness.
Tom Cruise crashed a teenage fan's dirt bike after reenacting stunt scenes from one of his action movies outside the Scientology Center there in Hollywood. It's hilarious. The teenager shouted to Tom, "Hey, show me some of those cool moves you did in Night and Day." However, after showing off a few wheelies, he lost his balance, fell off, and damaged the bike.
Damaged his bike and his stigma.
Your bike is suppressive and glib.
Was Tom in there?
The e-meter was probably set wrong on the dirt bike.
Was he just demonstrating to like the side of that building, or was Tom actually in the? I mean, it's a huge. If no one's seen, was it outside the Celebrity Center?
Yes.
It looks like, you know, like a haunted mansion from a Dracula movie.
Yes.
There's a kid just dancing around on the curb in front of an impassive and unobserving building, and one very dumpy security guard. Tom is not in there. Tom has his own Scientology. He's rich. He has his own Scientology building. He has his own impressive, depressing mansion. On his own property. He's not hanging out on the corner of Blop Blop and Blop Blop in Hollywood.
Maybe he doesn't do his own stunts. You know who does? Angelina Jolie.
Yes, she does.
She blamed being vegan for nearly killing her. She says it's her guilty pleasure to eat red meat, and then when she restricted her diet not to include animal products, it had negative effects on her health. Yeah, I'll get the whole vegan thing.
Yeah.
She said, "I joke, a big juicy steak is my beauty secret. Seriously, I love red meat. I was vegan for a long time, but it nearly killed me."
And by making you tiny and brittle with your little stick arms. She's beautiful. And I don't want to be the person who beats up on every single name that you bring up on the show.
I know.
I'm just validating all of Jan's, like, submerged, not so submerged anger. But
she also says that she admits she enjoys seeing her hands grow older.
She's tiny. She literally.
She's like little velociraptor hands, she's so small.
Her upper arm is the same circumference as her lower arm.
Wow.
Literally, I think that on, like, anorexic websites, they go, just don't get this skinny, because that would just be terrifying.
I don't enjoy watching my hands grow old. Look at that. You see those? They're, like, veiny kind of bingo hands.
When I was a little kid, my mom had really veiny hands, and I was like, man, when I grow up, I'm going to drive a Mustang and have veiny hands. That's what my mom did.
A girl can dream.
It's all come true, my friends. It's all come true.
And you had to become a movie and TV star instead.
Yeah,
oh, well.
You know.
All right, one last one. A love story. Tom Jones is still in his life.
It's not unusual.
He's still in love with his wife of 53 years. Because she's a lady.
Beautiful.
She's a lady.
Oh, I love that. That's a nice piece of news.
Banging every
Well,
piece
you know,
of
sure. You can stand in love when you get a little bit of potatoes on the side.
We have an understanding.
I'll always love steak because I get so much potatoes. I'm doing inner monologues now. I had a little bit too much flax in my shake today.
Jeff in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Are you having a brain-related event of some sort?
Every day I have a tiny aneurysm. Where am I? Who am I? Toast.
Jeff in Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to point out, I think everybody missed something over the weekend with Glenn Beck. You know, I think when he talks about prey, he's spelling it with an E.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what?
I have a scheme
good for you
today.
For wordplay. Good for you with your wordplay and your thinky joke. I give you a big thumbs up for that one.
Too thinky.
Maria in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I was thinking that Glenn Beck has a great chalkboard project if he tries to diagram Sarah Palin's
right, like,
diagram a sentence.
A sentence diagram, right? Yeah. Just like, where are the prepositions?
Yes. Try diagramming this, seriously.
What subject does this verb refer to?
It is so humbling to get to be here with you today, patriots. You who are motivated and engaged.
You know what she uses? A lot of semicolons. There are a lot of semicolons in that speech. A couple of M dashes. That's how
her semicolon needs a colonoscopy. Then,
where are the ellipses? If you there are like 13 ellipses in that sentence.
And there's a schwa here and there.
Schwa. Oh, bam, with the obscure punctuation reference.
Oh my God. Grammar geeks of the world unite.
Punctuation.
Wow. Okay.
That was excellent. That
Nothing
was excellent.
But net, grammar geeks. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back.
Okay. Bam. In your face. Semicolon.
It's not punctuation.
Punctuation porn. Punctuation porn.
We all need a nap. We'll be right back with the waning moments of Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Waning.
Oh my God, that is hilarious.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. What if Stephanie Miller was one of us? Just a
flaw like one of us. A flock of geese this morning formed on my way to work and said, "You are God." I am Yahweh.
So did God have a monthly pass to ride on that bus?
April in Salisbury, Maryland, writes about Glendex geese. Steph, I see the same miracle every Sunday morning on the golf course. Does that make me God? Yes.
Family. Yes. Fam. Yes. Indeed, my friend.
I've been anointed with the holy poop of God. By the V formation of the heavenly geese.
Rick in Canada.
He needs mental treatment.
Yes. Really? Okay. Rick in Canada writes, Steph, it could look kind of like NASCAR with walkers instead of cars.
Funny. Come on, man. I would really, I would love to have a conversation, and I'm sure this person's listening, to somebody who went to this event and has an honest and earnest analysis of what they think that event, that was all about.
Yeah.
Because I actually still don't know. What was the point? Because he said it wasn't a political gathering.
What does Glenn Beck have to do with God exactly? Yeah, I don't even understand. Like, why do you need Glenn Beck to come talk to God?
Exactly. Like, someone tell me what that was supposed to be.
It was supposed to be a promotion for his book.
Yes.
That was the original point of it. And then it morphed into this
because
God
he realized, well, that's too crass. So instead, I'm going to try to lead people towards the concept that God has anointed me, has given me my show, which gets sometimes, 1.5 million people, sometimes not.
And also they had this phony, support the troops thing, which,
Sure. Which yes. You need, yes.
Sue and Rockville.
An agglomeration of, heartstring tugging bullcrap.
Right.
Hello, Sue and Rockville, Maryland.
Hey, good morning. You two ladies are so wonderful, and you're my spiritual advisors, and I need help. I'm having a spiritual crisis.
Oh, dear.
You know I live in the D.C. area, so I'm of a certain age, and I'm trying to decide, do I color my hair? Do I let it go gray? And I decided I'd color it, and I looked up in the sky, and a flock of geese went by, and I thought, oh, it's a sign. I should color my hair and look younger. Mm. But then I looked up again, and the flock of geese went the other way, because I live in the D.C. area, where there's always geese flying by. And now I don't know. Do I color my hair? Don't I? Please, ladies, help me.
Oh, no.
It doesn't matter what color your hair is, as long as you don't use the green or yellow line to get anywhere. Because that's where the people of the wrong color live.
You know what? All of them came from Shady Grove, from our endpoint here in Montgomery County.
Mm.
And Montgomery County is full of, let me just say, liberals,
what?
Democrats, and immigrants, especially Hispanics.
Oh, my
God. A hotbed of something that I don't know what it is. A hotbed of strange feelings and things getting done, people working.
Sort of a diversity bouillabaisse that makes me deeply uncomfortable.
A combination
people are building things.
Compassion and melanin.
Doing things and cleaning things and working instead of sitting on their pile of money.
That's what bothers people. That's what bothers people
about
the president.
Toxic stew of compassion. Passion and melanin. We hate it.
That's why they hate the president.
That's why they hate him. Because
Tom
he's so
and
awesome.
Long Beach.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Mooks. Aisha.
Hello.
Hey, listen. Those weren't Canadian geese that flew over.
That's what I was wondering.
Illegal immigrant geese. Trying
socialists.
To come down here
they
and
were
help
big
them.
Government we've geese. Got. It was God
trying to steal our money and our women.
Aisha, we're going to talk to Ursula in Seattle now. Why? Because she's 11. Good morning, Ursula.
Hey, this is Ursula, born in Hawaii. Hawaii. I really don't know. The news confuses me.
You're adorable.
Anyways, well, I just called to tell you guys that I was in Hawaii 2 weeks recently. And my dad, my brother, my sister, and I, we were all staying in a cabin. And it was kind of like a duplex. So we had a neighbor that was right next to us. So one day, my little sister and I, we accidentally rolled our ball over into their yard, and we looked in this window, and this huge, fat guy was drinking beer, eating ice cream, and watching Fox News.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, wow. That's called
somebody should protect the children from that, shouldn't they?
Really? That is.
I'm sorry you had to see that, honey.
Yeah, that's called a reactionary float when you have beer and ice cream together.
I'm sorry, Ursula. Hopefully, after years of therapy, you can recover from that.
Wow.
You sound like a lovely young lady.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And you're only 11?
Yeah.
Oh, you're wow, awesome. Girls rock. It's so you're cool awesome that you call the show and keep writing those kind of bits about your life, and then someday you can do what Stephanie did.
Yeah.
It's exactly. You can grow up and have a fart joke radio show. All is not lost. All
thank
right.
Thank you for
thank
calling.
Thank you, honey.
Oh,
okay.
That was so
smart,
cool.
Smart, funny girl. She was so cute.
I don't
have a baby.
I'm going into a diabetic coma
like
right now.
Yeah. You know, like a nice, funny, little snarky teenager that can be like, oh, Mom, and then like make some like little quip.
That's how they're
stomp off to text.
You want a sitcom kid.
I do. I want the little girl from America. Family. Just all sarcastic and hilarious with her glasses and her science books.
That's how they're programming people. High blood sugar and propaganda.
Right.
It's Fox and ice
cream. Let me refer to something I said about 3 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. I do not think that supporting the troops is heartstring tugging bullcrap. I just think that faking that that's what you care about because you think it's going to make you seem more patriotic.
Well,
is
no, but
bull
these
crap.
Are the people that sent them into an unnecessary war, and that is not the way you support the troops.
Yes,
in my opinion.
You support them by bringing them home to their families and also going up to the hot ones on the street and giving them a hug. Which is my usual plan. Hey there, G.I. Joe. You look like
listen,
he's a little American comfort.
I put in my tour during Fleet Week this year. Let me tell you what.
Flute Week?
Flute Week.
That's a whole different kind of thing.
Womp and wompy and womp womp womp. That was a mallet. That was a little mallet, little slip.
I knew I was blowing something.
Yeah, let's
Toot, toot, toot. All right. President Obama dismissed a recent poll showing a third of Americans don't know he's Christian.
Oh, it's exhausting, isn't it?
It really is.
With the reading and the knowing and the listening to things over and over again.
What's
and
that?
The hearing it constantly and yet not internalizing it, that the president is a Christian. You know why? You know why people don't know he's a Christian? Because unlike the last guy, he actually goes to work every day instead of sitting around praying for answers and, you know, chopping wood. You know what I mean? Like how...
Yes.
There's also this kind of thing we've got to be demonstrative about everything.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I've got to talk about it all the time because otherwise it doesn't sink in. Like, this guy's actually trying to do his job. Instead of spending like 90 days out of every 100.
Well, it's like Glenn Beck said, your parents should have their kids see them praying. Like, that's how you show kids that you're good. Because we're
walk around the house naked and have your kid watch you praying.
Said.
What's happening?
Yeah.
What's happening right now?
Well, Chris and I were saying that's usually the excuse if your parents left the bedroom door open. It's we're praying or playing leapfrog.
We're God wants
mommy, go away now.
God wants us to pray vigorously, honey.
Mommy was praying, Daddy was saluting.
Oh, how about the other way around, my friend? Daddy was reading a book, and Mommy was praying to the ceiling. Okay, just make the picture on your own. I don't have time to do everything for you people.
So, you know that Muslim cab driver who got stabbed for, being
guy.
Muslim? Yes.
Oh, my God.
He told the mayor, despite the hateful incident, he's still proud of New York and its multicultural tolerance. Yeah, it's a mix of melanin and compassion, New York is. While he said he's haunted by the incident, he said he still believes the city is actually for all colors, races, religion, everyone. He's still glad to be. He said, I feel like I belong here. This is the city actually for all colors, races, religion, everyone. We
Let's
live here.
Let's be
side
crass.
By side.
Take this guy and turn him into our Rosa Parks because he is. I mean, the guy was literally stabbed and also sarcasted over.
Now
he
that
was
is
stabbed cool. like he. Like, he literally, like, he was in a 1980 Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Consider this a checkpoint. You have been collateral damaged. And this guy still is nice. I want to hug him.
God bless him. That's it for us and Tuesdays with Tyler. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I did make up sarcastic.